The reading is Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Thank you. As I said, that the theme that I wanted to bring this morning, it's there found in that one verse, verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? We've got to set the scene with this narrative that we've got here in Mark chapter 10. It's a similar story appears in both Matthew, Mark and Luke, and you will find that there are some differences in the way that the different gospel writers have looked at this story. But we don't need to be worried about that. It's just that we need to understand that they're looking from it from the viewpoint that they saw it. And, you know, it could be that they were not even by each other, but in a different part of the crowd as this narrative, what happened, took place. But we find here in Mark chapter 11 that we're told that Jesus was passing through Jericho. And it would be the last visit that he was making, that he would make through Jericho, because on this journey he was making his way towards Jerusalem. And the narrative tells us that there were others with him, not just the disciples, but there was a great crowd. And they would be making the same journey, making their way up to Jerusalem, because they were heading there in readiness for the Passover. Of course, Jesus was heading there as well. He was heading to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. But we know from the verses that I read earlier on in the service that Jesus was also heading to Jerusalem, not only to spend Passover with his disciples, but to become the Passover lamb himself as he would go to Calvary and bear our sin. And so Mark reports for us here in this narrative that as they left Jericho, there was a beggar called Bartimaeus. Now we need to understand that in those days that beggars were a very familiar sight, for there was no National Health Service, there was no Department of Health and Social Security, and so for those who were afflicted in any way, it was a case of fend for yourself. And so they became outcasts, they became unwanted, they became individuals that were considered to be of no use. So in those days, to see a beggar was nothing out of the ordinary. I told you before that at the last 10 years I've regularly gone to Hungary to minister to churches there, and I can remember the first couple of times I went, and it went into Budapest, and they come out of one of the main stations in particular. It happens all over there, but this one station in particular I remember coming out of, and just absolutely everywhere there were these people begging. They were lying on the benches, they were lying on the pavement, they were sitting up against the wall, and my heart went out to them, seeing so many begging in this one small area. Until I eventually began to learn that not every one of them were actually beggars. There were what you would call professional beggars amongst them. And they would come from outlying towns or villages on the train, and they would come to the station, and they would go outside the station, and they would put some garb on or whatever else and make out that they were beggars, and they would be making a good living out of it. But I began to learn that there were those that were genuine amongst the beggars as well. And when we come to this narrative and the story of Bartimaeus, we find that he was a genuine beggar. He was an outcast. He had a need. He couldn't see. He had no sight. He had to fend for himself. And as we continue in this story, we find that as he was there begging, and others were there begging as well as begging there as well, he would have realized, with the noise that was going on around him, with the commotion as the crowd began to walk by, he would have noticed that something different was happening on this day as he begged there outside the city of Jericho. And so I can only imagine that he would have inquired, what's going on? What's happening? What is all this fuss about? What is all this noise about? And he learnt, as they told him, that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. But the narrative would seem to indicate that this blind Bartimaeus had already heard of Jesus of Nazareth. For we find that when in the story he begins to cry out, he doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth so much, but he says Jesus, son of David. And so we can learn from this story, first of all, the good news must have travelled fast. And no doubt he had heard about Jesus already. He may have heard the stories about what Jesus had done. And we can think of some of them. He may have heard that Jesus had touched the lame, and those that couldn't walk were suddenly walking again. He may have heard about the lepers, who we know were definite outcasts. They had to go to live separate from everybody else. And he would have heard that Jesus had healed the lepers. He would have heard about the deaf people that had begun to hear again. He would have heard the fascinating story, perhaps, of Lazarus being raised from the dead and others being raised from the dead. He would have heard about the story of the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000, how this man, Jesus of Nazareth, had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes and from out of it had fed 5,000 men, women and children. He may even have heard the story about how Jesus stood on the boat in the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm and suddenly just lifted his hands and said, "Peace be still," and all was a calm. And so Bartimaeus may have heard of all these different stories and so much more. But what was important to Bartimaeus was that he will have heard, or may have heard, that Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David, had enabled the blind to see. He knew in his heart that this man, if ever he should pass this way, had the ability and the power to solve his desperate need, which was that of physical blindness. And the wonder of it all is this. This man, Jesus, could even deal with his even more desperate need, and it was that of spiritual blindness. And so Bartimaeus called him Son of David. Is it possible that when Bartimaeus cried out, "Have mercy on me," it was the cry from the heart of a man who, although physically blind, was also aware of his spiritual need? But we find that on discovering that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he had to persevere. He had to persevere. The crowd tried to stop him. "How dare you interrupt," they would say. "How dare you try to stop Jesus? How dare you, a blind beggar, even think that Jesus would make time for you? Shut up. Go away. Be quiet." But we find that he was desperate. And he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." See, his cry, Bartimaeus' cry, wasn't the cry or the chant of some star-struck fan who was in earshot of their idol, maybe a film star, a football star, or a pop star, seeking their attention to grab an autograph or to take, as we would today, a selfie. No, his cry was the urgent cry of a desperate soul, of a man who was sick and tired of his disability, sick of being an outcast. He was sick and tired of having to the same routine day in, day out. It was the cry that knew that if he was heard and Jesus responded, his life would be totally changed and turned around. And so no matter how hard the crowd rebuked him, no matter how many times they told him to shut up, he was not going to give up, and he cried out even the more and even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And above the rowdy crowd, his cry was heard by the one that mattered. Jesus, above everything else that was going on around him, heard the cry of desolation. He heard the cry of desperation. And it says that Jesus stopped. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus stopped. And he called him. And he called to the crowd and said, "Let him know that I've heard. Bring him here." And I love what it says in verse 50. It says there, "And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus." I love that verse. First of all, he threw off his coat. And throwing off his cloak, isn't this the response we make at Calvary? Throwing off the cloak, we throw off the old man. We throw off the old sinful nature. We throw off the old sinful desires. And then it says he sprang up. He sprang up. This is the English Standard Version. Does knowing Jesus put a spring in your step? Does knowing Jesus put a spring in your step? We should all be Tiggers, T-I-double-G-R. We should all be bouncing for joy. As we've thrown off the cloak, we've thrown off the old desire and the old nature, we should be bouncing for joy in coming to know the Lord Jesus. And so we find that after throwing off his cloak and springing up and coming to Jesus, we find that he was challenged. And this to me is the old thrust of this narrative, as Jesus turns to Bartimaeus and says, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" Surely it was obvious. Surely it was obvious, but and Jesus already knew, but he was giving this man an opportunity to pour his heart out. He was giving this man the opportunity to express his need, and to which he responded with these words, "Rabbi, let me receive my sight." Blindness is an awful thing, and I feel for Edwin losing his sight. My grandmother went blind when she was 82. When she was blind for the rest of her life, she died 99. And I used to hate it when I would go to visit my gran. And she couldn't see you. And she would just talk to you, knowing you were there. And it's an awful thing. And I know with my grandmother how much she would have loved to have seen again. And so Bartimaeus is there. "What do you want me to do to you? Lord, let me receive my sight." Now Bartimaeus may have gone blind, or he may have already been blind. But whatever it was, he wanted to see again. That was his need that he expressed. And Jesus responds to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." See, Jesus could see that Bartimaeus had faith to believe in him. And it says, immediately. There's no long drawn out affair. But immediately, he received his sight. What an incredible moment it must have been. Blind one moment, and with vision the next. An outcast one moment, then no different to the rest. Only hearing Jesus, but now able to see him. And the scripture continues concerning Bartimaeus, that it says that he followed Jesus on the way. I wonder, as I look at this narrative, and see the results, is it possible that his spiritual eyes were opened as well? I like to believe that from the moment he followed him on the way, not just another person in the crowd, but he was not following the crowd, but he was following Jesus with a determination in his heart to be with him, to follow him, to follow the one who had healed him, both physically and spiritually. And with my vivid imagination, I can hear him following Jesus, chanting to himself, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." Or the words of the song that we've just heard, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But was blind, but now I see." See, this one sentence, "and followed him on the way," speaks to us today of the importance of committing to Jesus, of following him wholeheartedly once we have come to receive him as Saviour and as Lord. I don't know if anybody knows, or some of you may know, the hymn 361 in the Redemption Hymnal. The heading in the music edition is "Jesus is passing this way." And this is the words of the hymn. "Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Is there a heart that has wandered? Come with thy burden today. Mercy is tenderly pleading, Jesus is passing this way. Is there a heart that is broken, weary and sighing for rest? Come to the arms of thy Saviour, pillow thy head on his breast. Come to thy only Redeemer, come to his infinite love. Come to the gate that is leading homeward to mansions above. Jesus is passing this way today. Jesus is passing this way today." And I want to say amongst us this morning that Jesus is passing this way today. Jesus is passing this way today. And we must believe that when we meet together in his name, that Jesus isn't just passing this way. He isn't just passing through. But just in this narrative with Bartimaeus, he stops. He stops. He's passing this way. But here he stops and he presents himself amongst us. He stands amongst us and he waits for us to call out to him. He waits for us to reach out to him and to receive from him. I believe that Jesus stands amongst us this morning. We may only be a few in number. And there are those that will be watching the video later today or sometime during the week. But wherever they are, when they're watching the video, Jesus will be there standing amongst them. And I believe that Jesus would ask us this morning that same question. And to those who will watch the video, "As I stand amongst you, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" See, this occasion in Mark chapter 10 would have been the last time that Jesus would make the journey through Jericho. How sad if Bartimaeus had missed out. How sad if he had just sat there quietly. How sad if he'd listened to the crowd telling him to shut up and he had just shut up. How sad if he would have just allowed Jesus to pass by and then to have heard later that the one who could have met his need had been crucified. Opportunity gone. Opportunity missed. May we as the people of God today, may we never miss out on what God has for us. Firstly, because we remain silent or allow others to silence us. Or secondly, because we fail to ask or we fail to reach out. Or maybe we even fail to receive. Or we fail to obey when the voice of Jesus calls us. Verse 19, we have these two words. 49, sorry. We have these two words. "Take heart." take heart. Crowds made this statement to Bartimaeus, the ones that were telling him to shut up, the ones that were telling him to be quiet. Once Jesus spoke, they changed their tune. Bartimaeus, take heart. Take heart. And to all of us here, and to all who will watch the video, take heart. Take heart. Because Jesus is interested. He's interested in me. He's interested in you that are here. Interested in you that will watch the video. Jesus is interested in each and every one of us. He's interested in our needs. He's interested in our circumstances. He's interested in our families. And he stands amongst us. And he asks us a question. What do you want me to do? What is it that you want Jesus to do? What is it? He stands amongst us. Let's reach out and let's get a touch from the Lord. As I said, I believe that God laid this on my heart for this morning. And we're going to listen to some songs now. And as we're listening to these songs and reading the words and perhaps joining along, whatever's on your heart, whatever's troubling you, whatever the need might be, reach out to Jesus and let's allow him to minister into our hearts and into our lives today. Thank you.